Text for the sermon this morning comes from Acts chapter 16. We find ourselves in verses 6 through 10 of Acts chapter 16, dealing with a Macedonian call. Let's hear God's holy inspired word from Acts chapter 16. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. One of the most common questions I get asked when people find out I'm a pastor is, "How did you know you were called to be a pastor?" Having interacted with many people around this question, I've come to the conclusion that this is often a question people have because they're very intrigued by the idea of someone being called to ministry. It seems like a great mystery to them. They wonder, how does God work such in your heart that you know that you are called to the ministry? It seems like a mysterious and a mystical experience to people. Yet, God doesn't necessarily call down from heaven when one is called to ministry. You don't see words painted in the sky. You don't often have an angel come to you and say, "You're called to ministry, go and serve here." You don't see a vision as we find in our text. And while there is an element to mystery, because this is an operation of the Holy Spirit in one's heart, God's Word gives us and tells us how we are to think about calls to ministry. In Acts 16, we have Paul, Silas, and Timothy being called very specifically to minister in the region of Macedonia. However, they're forbidden from ministering in other areas. And so this is a great text for us to look at as we consider what it means to be called to ministry. And so this morning I want us to consider Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, under the theme, "Am I called to ministry? Am I called to ministry?" Now, before we even get started considering our text, you might wonder at the relevance of such a sermon for you. After all, many of you would be automatically and biblically barred from ministry because you are women. Others of you believe that you're already faithfully serving God in your current callings, whatever that calling might be. However, there are three reasons that I want you to consider that it is important for every one of you to consider this question and consider this aspect of what it means to be called to ministry. And first is that you, as members of Christ's church, are the ones charged with the responsibility of calling and electing church officers. You are tasked with determining who meets the qualification to be a pastor, to be an elder, to be a deacon. So you have to be knowledgeable about how God calls people to ministry. You have to be knowledgeable about this if you are to be wise and discerning in electing the right men. I've witnessed the devastating effects on congregations calling men to serve as their pastors for the wrong reasons. They have elected men who are never called to serve Christ's church in that capacity, and that has often been devastating for them. They call men who might be good businessmen. They call men who might be charismatic preachers, and yet they do not call men who are true pastors appointed by Christ, and the church ultimately suffers for it. So, you as members of Christ's church need to know how God calls men to ministry. The second reason you need to consider this question is you never know when God might place upon you a desire to serve in ministry. You fathers and husbands, perhaps God is calling you even now to serve Him in gospel ministry. Certainly we see a lot of young men being raised for ministry, but God often calls older men to serve Him. And perhaps He is placing a burden in your heart, even now, for the office of elder or deacon. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. You need to know how to rightly discern the call of God upon your life. And especially the boys of the congregation, they need to hear this. It could be that as they grow up, realize God is not calling me to a normal vocation. Perhaps God's calling me to serve in gospel ministry. And I urge the boys of the congregation to, as they grow up, as they consider what they want to do with their lives, to ask the question, is God calling me to serve in gospel ministry? You see, in our day and age, that there is a great need for godly men to serve the church. There is a dying world past these walls, a dying world that is headed to hell, lest it repents and believes in Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Boys of the church need to ask themselves, is ministry something that God wants me to do with my life? And so, the second reason many of you need to consider this question. And third, we talk of ministry in the sense of ministry with a capital M. By this we mean those who pursue ministry in a formal capacity as a pastor, as an elder, or even as a deacon. It's ministry with a capital M. But every single member of the church is called to ministry with a lowercase m. We're all called to minister to one another from Scripture. The ministry at its heart is the act of service, the act of being a servant to one another. As we serve one another in the body of Christ, as we love one another, we must make use of our gifts. Must minister to each other. Paul tells the church in Rome, in Romans 12, verse 4 through 8, For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul's saying there, and you'll say the same thing in 1 Corinthians, that we all have various gifts. It's not just the pastor and elders and deacons who have gifts. No, every single member of the body of Christ has a gift given to them by the Spirit. a gift or gifts. And you, as the members of the body, need to be diligent in using those gifts. And so, as we think about calls to ministry, every single one of you needs to be asking, how is God calling me to minister and serve my brothers and sisters in the church? How is God calling you to use your gifts for the growth of the body here in Oklahoma City? So those are three reasons that this is a very relevant question for you this morning. And having seen the necessity of considering this question, let's now turn to consider our text. After Paul, Silas, and now, of course, Timothy has joined them, after they had finished visiting all the churches that Paul and Barnabas had planted in their first missionary journey, they had a desire to go further west in Asia. If you'll look on your map on the back of the bulletin, you'll be able to trace some of the geography happening here. Paul has a desire to go into Western Asia. And we see that Paul's tendency in his mission strategy is to head for regions that are heavily populated. Paul will preach in the major cities, and then the gospel will disseminate throughout the surrounding region, going to the smaller towns and villages from that hub. And Paul had a desire here to go directly west, even southwest in Asia, sort of heading for the region of Ephesus. However, our text tells us that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in that region. They are forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And so Paul tries to go north, tries to head up north into the region of Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit did not permit that either. And so what they end up doing is they skirt around and they go a little southwest towards Troas. And it's in Troas, they're spending the night there, and Paul has a vision where he is called to Macedonia. Rather than preaching in Asia, Paul is called by God to cross the Aegean Sea and go into Europe. As we read this text, there's actually a lot we're not told. We don't know how the Spirit forbade them from going to Asia and did not permit them to go into Bithynia. It would be wrong for us to be dogmatic on, well, this is exactly how it happened. And we have to be careful as we consider, well, how did the Holy Spirit prevent them and tell them not to go here? But we have a couple possibilities of what happened. It could have been some prophet in one of the cities, in one of the churches that Paul was visiting. And he prophesied that they should not go into these regions. It could have been some strong internal impression that the Spirit placed in one of their hearts. That, no, it wouldn't be good for us to go here. As much as we might desire to preach the gospel here, we should not go here. But it could have also been something that's mundane, as a roadblock, be unable to travel up this road to this particular city. We simply don't know how the Spirit forbade them. Yet, well, we don't know what means the Spirit used to forbid them. There are ways that you can know God's will for your life today. God has given the world His holy, inspired Word, which is the only rule for faith and life. These are the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, and they are applicable and relevant for every single person who lives on this world. And as you consider God's calling upon your life, you need to consider, what does Scripture say about God's call for me? And the first call that comes from Scripture to everybody without distinction is the call to repent of your sins and believe on Jesus Christ. That is, at its core, is the message of God's Word. You are a sinner. That you stand in need of salvation, and God has provided that salvation in Jesus Christ, and so believe in Him. Ask God's will for your life, that you would believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's Word goes further. Christ, in the Great Commission, called His church to teach all things that He has commanded. This is the task that the church has. Teach all things Christ has commanded. That's when faced with a dilemma that we as believers have, when faced with a ministry opportunity as God's people, we have to be sure to ask, is this ministry opportunity I have here, is this in conformity with God's Word? We must scripturally discern the call of God. We need to ask, is there any prohibition in God's Word that would bar me from being involved with this ministry opportunity? And I'll give an example of this. Back in Edmonton, I had the opportunity to be involved in a homeless ministry in downtown Edmonton. This was maybe back in 2016 or so. A university friend I had invited me to participate in this homeless ministry. And what a great opportunity for a Christian to show forth the love and compassion of Christ in ministering to the poor and needy in society. Well, I went and helped out this ministry for one night, but at the end of it, I found out it was being led and organized by a female pastor. It was her church that sponsored this ministry. And when I found that out, I realized, wait, I can't in good conscience be part of this, because this is not in accordance with God's Word. This female pastor was acting in defiance to the very clear call of Scripture for male-only elders. This was not in accordance with God's Word. Even though this was a great ministry opportunity, it was a need that needed to be met, I could not participate in it because of its failure to follow Scripture. And so I said no to that. But quite interestingly, shortly after that, another opportunity opened up. This time it was with a Reformed pastor who was inviting Muslim kids to play soccer on Wednesday nights and giving them a gospel message during halftime. This was something that I could be involved in, and I could in good conscience be involved with. And so I wanted to urge you, anytime a ministry opportunity presents itself, ask the question, what does Scripture say about it? Just because it's an opportunity does not automatically mean, well, this is biblical or this is right. Ask, is there a scriptural warrant for me to minister here? God desires obedience rather than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. But don't just ask the question in the negative sense. That is, what ministries does Scripture bar me from? But be sure to ask the question in the positive sense. What ministries does Scripture call me to? And as you study Scripture, asking that question, immediately you'll find, oh, Scripture actually calls me to do a lot. Scripture calls me to all sorts of ministries. Wives and mothers, Scripture calls you to the often unglamorous and overlooked ministry of the home. Yet the work of the home is foundational to the Christian church and the kingdom of God. There were no godly wives and mothers, the church would be in a horrible position. But thank the Lord for women and mothers like Eunice and Lois who we considered last week. His mother and grandmother raised Timothy, teaching him the Scriptures. They raised him to be a godly man, and God used that man to great ends in His kingdom. So, praise the Lord for mothers who raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, even as they are surrounded by dirty diapers, loads of laundry, and sinks full of dirty dishes. That's an unglamorous ministry field, but it is a very needful and necessary one. And you older women who are no longer busy with raising children, Scripture calls you to certain ministries as well. First and foremost, it is to encourage and support the younger women. Paul says in Titus 2:3, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So when you wonder, okay, what is God calling me to? How am I to serve God in His kingdom? Ask yourself, what does Scripture say about this? Does it prohibit me from serving in this particular ministry? Or does it call me to serve in this particular ministry? But sometimes you'll come upon a situation or a calling and realize, well, Scripture neither condemns this, nor does it command me to do this. In a sense, you'll see that there's some neutrality here. For the young man considering the gospel ministry, he's often placed on these crossroads. He could pursue a non-ministerial calling. He could become an engineer, a farmer, a shop owner, a chef. All those are legitimate and biblical options for his calling. But he could also pursue a call to formal ministry. He dedicates his life to the service of the Lord. Both are callings appropriate to consider. And the question is, which one should I consider? And something that helps sometimes to work through what to do is to ask yourself the question, do I feel called to this ministry? And here you need to discern the call internally. Some people might be opposed to talking about feelings. And of course, we always need to be careful when we're talking in the realm of feelings. But it's very necessary and biblical when talking about being called to ministry to talk about feelings. We read once again in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. If a man desires, he desires the office, the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Paul's there dealing in the realm of feelings, in the realm of desires. This inward desire is one that yearns for it, that stretches out and reaches for it. It is a compulsion, as it were. When somebody is called of God, the Spirit implants often, though not always, implants a strong and irresistible desire in that person's heart for it. Charles Spurgeon is well known as having said, if you can do anything else, do it. If you can stay out of ministry, stay out of ministry. But if you can't stay out of ministry, it's likely God is calling you to serve in ministry. One who is called of God can do nothing but serve in ministry. Now, of course, that's not always the case. Sometimes people don't feel a very strong sense of internal calling to the ministry. Yet they, oftentimes, they might find themselves being called to ministry. There's the example of Jeremiah. Here Jeremiah has been appointed to be a prophet of God. I mean, before he was born. And Jeremiah says, I'm too young for this. I don't desire this at all. And God says, no, you're called. Go and serve. You need to discern the call of God internally. And we could talk about this in some sort of sense as a sanctified obsession where one is not content until he is fulfilling that calling. It's interesting that the main Hebrew word for prophet is the word Navi, which means to bubble up or to bubble over. The idea is that a prophet of God is one who is so filled with God's Word, so filled with a desire to share that Word, that he essentially bubbles over. He can't but live his life talking and thinking upon the things of God. It's like you overfill a pot of water. You put it to boil on the stove. That water will go everywhere. Someone who is called of God cannot help but proclaim that Word. One who is called to the gospel ministry has such an awareness of the wonder of salvation and what God has done, and he's compelled to tell that to others. True pastor is not one who is content to remain in his study amid books and papers, but he's one that feels compelled to take the fruits of that study to God's people and to the world. And preach it. An important aspect of internal calling is also recognition of need. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, Isaiah 6 is the call of Isaiah to be a prophet. The Lord asks the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The Lord presents the great need. There's a need of a prophet to proclaim the holiness of the Lord. Isaiah sees that need. He hears that need. He hears God asking the question. And he says, here am I, send me. Isaiah saw the need. He heard the question, replied to God, send me. Now look at verse 9 of our text from Acts 16. Verse 9 says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. You're called to serve in gospel ministry. You'll likely never have the experience of seeing a vision of somebody pleading with you to help them. While you won't see that, you will encounter people in great need. You will see need. And the Lord will often use this recognition of need to compel you to go and serve. There are thousands of people who are in need of great help. As we look at the world today, we see thousands, if not millions of people headed on the road to destruction. They stand exposed to the wrath of God. They're blinded in their sin. They're in bondage to the kingdom of darkness and are slaves of Satan. If you drive through the cities of Oklahoma, just consider how many people are blindly, even joyfully and happily, walking on the road to destruction, lost in their sins. Consider how you have the good news that will save them from that destruction. If they knew their spiritual plight, they could not but help cry out with the Macedonian man, help us, save us. Well, thanks be to God that He has given His church the ministry of reconciliation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We, as God's people, have the word. We have that word which is powerful unto salvation to everyone who believes. As we look at the needy world around us, to ask ourselves, how is God calling us to supply that need? How is God calling us be used as means to supply the need of this world? So we see that one who recognizes need and desires to serve that need can be called to ministry, whether that be ministry with a capital M, which is an office bearer, or a lowercase m. And we also see that the recognition of this need, the desire to fulfill this need, certainly calls people to ministry, but it also excludes certain people from ministry as well. There are people who desire ministry not because they want to serve a need, but because it puts them in a certain position. They want to have a position rather than to actually serve. And these type of people don't have a right desire for ministry. They have a sinful desire. And you can determine such people because they're prideful. They want to pursue their own agenda. They do not submit to others. They believe they are above doing mundane acts of service. They will demand others serve them. These people are not called to gospel ministry as much as they might say, I feel called to ministry. The calling is often their own sinful desire. And the same holds true of those who seek ministry for the sake of money. They might say, well, I have this strong internal desire to become a pastor. And yet, that internal desire is their own love for money, their own love for power and prestige. These people are decidedly not called by God, but instead they are robbers who break into Christ's sheepfold to harm and hurt His church. And our text warns us to be very discerning, even with right and godly desires. Just because you have a desire to do something does not mean that God desires you to do that. Note from our text that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had a good and right desire to bring the gospel to Asia. No one could condemn their desire. No, this is a good desire they had. And when God said no to Asia, well, they had a desire to go to Bithynia, to go up north and preach the gospel there. Surely there are people in great need there. And yet, their desire was not God's desire. God desired something else for them. God desired that they preach in Macedonia. In Macedonia. Mistake we can often make that we think we perceive a need. And as soon as we perceive the need, well, the Lord wants me to serve in that need. We immediately jump in feet first and think we are serving God. Rarely enters our mind to ask, is this actually what God wants me to do? We fail to ask this question because we are so convinced of the rightness of the cause. Yet we fail, we sin in making our desire God's desire. could have been a temptation for Paul and Silas and Timothy. They said, well, I'm going to follow my own desire. Yes, the Spirit has forbidden me to go here, but I think the need over here is greater than the need in Macedonia, so I'm going to do what I think is best. We need to be very careful when we work through our own internal desires. We ask the question, is this scriptural? Is this something that God wants me to do? So that raises the other question. It's obviously very difficult sometimes to determine that idea of eternal, internal calling. Don't know, is this just my sinful desire for this ministry? Is it my sinful desire to fulfill this need? Or is this a right desire? Is this a godly desire? And sometimes you can feel, I don't know what I am supposed to do. I don't know what is right in this situation. And here, we need to discern the call outwardly. Need to discern the call outwardly. It's very interesting to know that when Paul and his company were seeking to go to Western Asia, that they were all forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And when they wanted to go into Bithynia, this Holy Spirit did not permit all of them to go. This wasn't a matter of Silas saying, well, I don't think we should go here. No, the Spirit worked in such a way that the call of God was able to be discerned clearly by all of them. The church laboring together, the Spirit working in each of His people to help them determine the call. And here we see the blessing of being part of a body. Sometimes we don't know what the will of God is for our own lives. But then when that happens, we can ask others to pray for us. We can ask others for wisdom. Proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Well, many churches could have been spared from uncalled men entering the ministry if those men had submitted to the counsel of others and if the church had done a better job of helping them examine their calling. I find it striking that when Paul received his vision with the Macedonian man, do not immediately accept that this vision was sent by God. Nowadays, people are very quick to say, oh, I had a dream about this, so God must be calling me to do this. I had a dream about being a missionary in Africa. And so therefore, well, obviously I must become a missionary to Africa. Well, we see that Paul did not do this. He did not immediately make the assumption. Look at verse 10 of our text. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. We see that there was, indeed, immediate obedience. They immediately went to Macedonia. However, that doesn't mean that there was no discussion. No, we see in verse 10 that they concluded. There was deliberation here between Silas and Timothy and Paul and maybe others as well. They concluded that this is where God is calling us to go. They took all the facts into account. The Lord forbidding them from going into Asia. The Lord forbidding them from going to Bithynia. And now this vision, they discussed it. They dialogued about it and said, okay, the Lord is calling us to Macedonia. Let us immediately go there. Paul didn't just use his apostolic authority and say, well, this is where we are going. No. Instead, they made use of each other in the body to come to a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led decision regarding their ministry. as we determine what God is calling us to as the body of Christ, as the individual members, as you seek to know how to serve the body, be sure to make use of the body of Christ. Be sure to seek the wisdom of others. You might use your gifts for the good and help of the church. So if you desire to labor in ministry, whether that be with a capital M or a lowercase m, make use of the church. Ask a member or ask your elders, what ways do you believe God has gifted me? Where do you believe God has called me to service? Ask for that counsel so that we as a body can glorify God together. And so, in conclusion, Christ, the only King and Head of the church, has given gifts to His church. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Christ gives gifts, and Christ, through the Holy Spirit, calls. And we as God's people must discern that call scripturally, must discern that call internally, we must discern that call outwardly. Let's seek the grace of our God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the relevance of Your Word. We pray, Lord, that we would walk by Your Spirit. That as we consider how You are calling us to serve, that, Lord, we would examine the Scriptures to see what they say. Lord, we pray that in areas You are calling us to serve, Lord, You would place a strong desire upon our hearts. And that, Lord, if that is indeed Your will, that, Lord, You would confirm that by the outward call. Father, we pray that You would help us to be wise. Help us, O Lord, to follow You and Your will.